Welcome to Mean Age Daydream with me, Brian McWilliams, where we're going to be making some jokes, laughing out at broken world, but also laying out the philosophy for the future, how we can fix this mess we're in and have a great time doing it all with a Mean Age Daydream. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Mean Age Daydream. I am Brian McWilliams, and thank you for joining me, where we, the society against melting of minds, comes to chat about the world. I have some interesting things to talk about today. Primarily, this episode is going to be looking at what's going on with the trans movement. We just had this incident with Joe Biden and the Biden administration, aka the White House, talking about the Trans Day of Visibility, as did Gavin Newsom, as did Hochul in New York City, yada, yada. But there's also some interesting videos that were compiled by a documentarian, which really showcases where this movement is. And that essentially, to me, is as a religious cult. But before we get into that, I do want to talk about this incident that just happened over in Gaza. And I don't know if you guys have been up to date on this news, but some foreign aid workers, and let me bring open this video really quickly, foreign aid workers were basically bombed to death by the IDF. Four international aid workers with World Central Kitchen, which is a UK organization, Australia and Poland, were killed in an Israeli airstrike on their car in Deir al-Balah in the central Gaza Strip. Let me play this video real quick. You can see they're showing the passports here. They've got the aid workers dead on the ground. Clearly not domestic population. I saw other videos as well of the man who was with these aid workers. They've got video of them recently where they did an interview that was on TV talking about the work that they were doing over in Gaza. But it just is one more drop in the bucket showing you that the IDF simply is not operating in a manner that would be considered in any circumstances in accordance with international law, right? You know, the Geneva Convention seems to be thrown out the window when it comes to Israel. They have been decimating a population. They've been bombing indiscriminately. Clearly, they're not identifying targets. And at this point in time, I think even domestically, you're seeing in Israel. Now, the protests are beginning streaming to remove Netanyahu over the way this is going down. I mean, Israel, I've talked about this before, has lost the PR war so badly to this point where all the goodwill that they may have built up, all of the, I guess, all of the exercises in looking the other way because of the historical precedent, right, of the Jews having gone through so much during the World War II era and, you know, even before that, being displaced as a population, et cetera, that seems to have hit the wall. That seems like the tanks run dry. And yet, instances like this continue to happen. The United Nations, of course, just condemned Israel and said, you need to have a ceasefire here. And on the heels of that, you've got them dropping bombs and killing people that are doing aid work. And this isn't I don't think anything that you can be controversial about and say, well, maybe it was the Palestinians that did it. Maybe, you know, because every time one of these things happens, it seems there's a counter movement to say, oh, no, it wasn't Israel's fault. This one, so far, I'm not seeing any pushback on. Now, that could change. This just broke today. I'm recording this on Tuesday. The episode will publish Wednesday in the podcast form. Things may change. We might see a counter narrative coming out. But as of now, it certainly seems like Israel's murdered foreign aid workers that were there trying to just do good, trying to feed people during a time when it has been acknowledged by every world body that there is a famine going on, you know, that is starvation levels in Gaza because of what Israel's done, blockading aid coming in, blockading supplies from coming in, continuously bombing these people into submission when, I'm sorry, most of the population can't escape, has nowhere to go, and is not part of this war. And yet here they are, killing aid workers for everyone to see. Truly amazing stuff. And we'll see if that comes to a head with Joe Biden and Netanyahu and Joe Biden as the election approaches, because he's getting pressure. I talked about this previously, how I think both the Israel and Ukraine wars will be over. There will be a ceasefire, because if there's not, it plays perfectly into Donald Trump's hands, saying, I'll end this. Joe Biden hasn't been able to get it done. He's still supporting this war. He's still sending money to Ukraine. He's still sending money to Israel. We just signed a new weapons package to them so they can continue to do things like this. It's in Joe Biden's interest. It's in the Democrats' interest to end this because their own people are strongly against what's going on in Israel, or I'm sorry, in Gaza by Israel. And I think even the flag-waving dipshits that exist that are pro-Ukraine to the ends of the earth are hitting a wall when you see, and as we've seen very recently, videos of kids that look to be 15, 16 years old getting on buses in the Ukraine to go and fight the war. More fodder for the cannons, more pigs to the slaughter for the military-industrial complex, for a proxy war the United States is funding. And essentially manning with our technology, with our drones, with our satellite information that we provided the Ukrainians, with our training. There's not going to be anybody left in Ukraine to populate a new generation because they're sending all the boys off to die now. And I think that even those with Ukrainian flags proudly, you know, adorning every Facebook profile, every Instagram, every Twitter on the bumpers of their car, in their windows of their stupid fucking rent share apartments, even those people are coming to see this has been what we've said all along. It's a quagmire. It's a proxy war that's murdering the Ukrainian population to enrich very few people in Ukraine, the most corrupt nation in the world, the most anti-democratic nation, since they've eliminated political parties, the media, religion, and essentially eliminated your ability to escape. Remember, because they're going to jail anybody that goes against them. They'll jail journalists, no problem with that. They'll jail dissidents. They'll jail protesters. They'll jail anybody that doesn't join the military because it's a conscription now. And don't forget, they'll also jail you if you try to get a passport to leave the country. Democracy! Unbelievable. Okay, so let's talk. Let's get back on track. Let's get back on track. Scotland, tying into this whole trans issue. On the day of, actually, let me start at the beginning. Let's talk about the Trans Day of Visibility. So there was a kerfuffle here on the Trans Day of Visibility, which I guess always falls on March 31st. And Easter fell on March 31st this year as well. Now, that's very early. I mean, it snuck up on me because I can't, I mean, my entire life, I've always thought of Easter as being on like April 12th. That's it, where it's lodged in my brain, probably because at some point it was April 12th when I was young, when I still got my Easter candy, when I got off school. I don't get any time off now, but my kid, as I was a kid, you got your time off. And of course, teachers get their nice long 10-day break. But, you know, they'll tell you that they're overworked and underpaid, despite the fact that they don't have to pay for daycare. They don't have to take time off work because they already are off, et cetera. But don't get me started on teachers. So this entire issue does seem to be something where it was going to fall on this date. It happened to be the same day as Easter. It seems that the right wing blew it out of control a little bit. They blew it up saying that, well, how dare you have this on the same? It fell on the same day. What are you going to do? Now, what we can say is that all of these days are stupid, right? Getting these days proclaimed is fucking stupid. And I used to run a calendar. I used to have a blog, which you can still go read, by the way. It's still funny. You can go through the old logs, but it was a comedy blog, kind of like, you know, Onion-esque, but it was called Welcome, the number two, Tardville. Welcome to Tardville, right? For all you tards out there. And I used to do a regular thing every year talking, it was every month, I think, talking about the stupidest days of activism that were in that month. Because there are just so many moronic days of activism, like the National Pretzel Coalition will have a day. The Dildo Makers of America have a whole day dedicated to them. You know, the Lunch Ladies with Moles have a day dedicated to them. It's just, you can get anything dedicated. It doesn't matter. It's moronic. But the White House and Gavin Newsom and Governor Hochul, and I'm sure, you know, Gretchen Whitmer, all the shit heels in the world that are trying to kowtow to a very tiny portion of the population and virtue signal to the rabid leftists who are slowly waking up to the reality of what's going on with this trans movement, of course they have to go out and say, Happy Trans Day of Visibility. Now, none of them are going out and wishing a happy Easter to the very conservative people out there, the Christians. That doesn't happen. And in fact, the White House banned in their Easter egg rolling competition, I guess you paint the eggs and enter them, they banned religious iconography from the eggs on Easter, which, look, I know, White House, you're trying to say we're separate from religion. If you're going to have an Easter thing, you can't ban Easter iconography or Easter paintings or crosses from being painted on the eggs. I mean, what the fuck is the point of having it then? Just have a bunny competition some other day, because it doesn't mean anything then. If you're not going to do an Easter-related thing on Easter, then just stop doing it. So instead of just saying, you know what, it's the Trans Day of Visibility, but we don't need to lean into this today from a federal perspective, from a White House perspective. We don't need to lean into this issue, which has already gone down a path of stupidity, considering the United Kingdom and numerous other Nordic countries have already banned puberty blockers and said the affirmative care model is broken and based on faulty evidence, aka what happened with the WPATH documents that were released. In the midst of all this, the Biden administration and all of our woke leftist horseshit governors are leaning into the affirmative model. Affirmative care, right? So, of course, they've got to go down and say, Happy Trans Day of Visibility, even though we've got 8 other days for that. And on Easter. Stupid. It's just stupid on its face, to the point where you have to wonder, you know, do these people realize, and I do question this, I almost wonder if it's a concerted effort to undermine Joe Biden, because it's such a buffoonery move. I mean, it's such a virtue signal that means nothing, unnecessary, that the White House doesn't have to do it. I'm sure you could, it was probably trying to trend on Twitter. You don't need to say anything about the trans population who you go out of your way to praise at every given moment of every given speech at any point anyway. To say that we see you, to a portion of the population, which frankly, we all can't avoid seeing. It's shoved in our face all the time in every medium of communication. Trans is shoved in our fucking faces. And on top of that, the most recent visible issues with trans were people shooting up schools. Maybe take a day off, Joe. Maybe take a break from pushing this ideology. So let me go on this track, right, of the trans issue. And as I mentioned, we've already seen that the entire premise of this, the entire house of cards, is crumbling down around trans, because the issue of you should support trans because your kid's going to kill themselves if they're trans and they don't. Well, that evidence is gone. There's zero evidence that your kid's going to have a higher suicide rate. The lie of would you rather have a living daughter or a dead son? It's a complete lie. Always was a lie. Always is a lie. The newest studies came out, showcase that. But on top of that, you have essentially what is these people making an argument that are trans now. And I'll show you this video in just a second, this compilation of people saying, look, this is not only about gender, right? It's not just about me feeling that I am a woman inside, or I'm a man inside, or I'm a, you know, whatever it might be. It's really about me having control over creation. It's me, as a massive narcissist, having control over what I am, what I'm going to become. You know, it's, my world is open and I am the master here. And I reject what I've been born as. Now, that's fine if you want to do that on your own. Right? There's a lot of narcissists out there that do a lot of fucked up things on their own. And as long as they keep to themselves, I don't have a problem with it. That's always been my stance on trans in general and almost anything else. Whatever you want to do, your furries, your whatever, you know, whatever you want to do, you want to live your life, go ahead, live your life. It becomes a problem when this religious ideology takes hold and becomes a social contagion, as we're seeing prominently within young girls, especially. It's a problem when it becomes a social contagion that's pushed and we're told that these trans people have to be visible because the world hates them. And then they go out and shoot up schools of Christian children. That's a problem. Because now this is not a war for, say, someone's ability to identify and live their most authentic life. It's a literally religious war. You're now the Crusades. And this trans generation is brought up and coached by the media and coached by politicians and coached by activists to treat it like the fucking Crusades. that it's them or us. And they will not be shy about telling you that they are coming for your children, right? We've seen that documented hundreds of times at this rate on social media. We've seen it documented in the way in which education is rolled out, how they teach children, what they teach children, in the propagandization of children in the classrooms. And again, you know, hundreds of examples on social media of this. But let me share this most recent thing. And this is, there's a great publication. I recommend it. It's called The Distance, and it is from Matt Osborne, who's a writer about, you know, trans issues. He's got a daughter that's, you know, he's going through all sorts of hell with his trans daughter who's run away and convinced of this and that and has mental issues. But let me share this video because this is compiled from an account called Skirt Go Spinny. And it's 4 minutes long. I'm just going to show you about a minute of this opening part because it's just going to encapsulate perfectly what I'm talking about, how this is not a gender movement. This is not an authentic self movement. This is a religious cult built around narcissism and essentially recreating oneself and fuck anybody else that wants to get in the way. And of course, making that conversion something that will now be adopted by other people. You know, again, if you're a religious cult, you want people to believe that your genesis, your creation myth, is the only one. So let's play this.
God blessed me by making me transsexual for the same reason God made wheat but not bread and fruit but not wine, so that humanity might share in the act of creation.
Hello, guys and gals and non-binary pals. You know, life isn't about finding yourself. It's about creating yourself.
And we can embody our genders in empowered acts of self-creation.
Queerness is an act of creation.
God made trans people for the same reason he made wheat but not bread.
And God created grapes but not wine.
So that humanity can share in the art of creation.
So there you go. I mean, that's enough of that for now. They're compiling a full documentary that's going to come out on this. But you can see where this is going. These people are trying to replace God with themselves as the creators, right? And their belief that this is now religion, that we have to replace what God has provided. And by the way, I'm not religious. I'm just saying this is where they're coming from. I'm not religious in any way. But they're saying we need to replace God as the creator and that humanity's role in creating themselves is now the better option, right? And this is why you see so much vitriol towards people that don't accept their creation, right? Because they, as gods, have recreated themselves in their own image of what is perfection, what they should be as trans males or trans females or whatever, non-binary or fucking dragon dog people, whatever they're going to do, right? And there's such vitriol now because as a religious cult, you have to believe the bullshit you're pitching, right? You have to believe in your own salvation. And these people believe that they're finding salvation in changing their gender and then forcing that exchange upon the rest of us. This is why they get so angry that lesbians won't have sex with men who still have dicks, pretending to be women, telling lesbians that they are bigots and transphobes for not fucking them. They don't accept that these lesbian women haven't accepted their salvation. They don't accept that their creation myth is not one that lands. And when that happens, right, just like with many religions, there's going to be a lot of anger. There's going to be a lot of vitriol. There's going to be a lot of... Now, imagine also, right, you've made this transition. You've convinced yourself within this cult mentality that you are God's creation, that you're recreating yourself, and that humanity now is in control of creation and yada, 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 yada. And when that's rejected, your religion has been rejected. You have been rejected wholly, and this is what's going to lead to the violence. Because now, your entire reality has come into question. Your entire faith has been challenged. And that's where I think you see so many people going down this road of, again, going after a Christian school. This is a crusade. This is now a holy war. These people are in a cult, this cult mentality. And I'm not saying every one of them, by the way. There's trans people out there that live their lives happily. They're happy as women. They've made the transition. They live their lives. They leave everybody else the fuck alone. And they're not trying to transition everybody out there and tell everybody that they're trans, which is what these people want us to believe. Right? And that's the other thing, too. It's the conversion. They want everyone to think that they're trans, to adopt conversion and get people to join this religion. And then if enough people believe that humanity is guiding creation, that sex isn't real, and that we have now with technological and medical advancements can create our own destinies, well, then we've invented a new reality, a new humanity, a new, you know, whatever it might be. So conversion is very key. Acceptance in society. But, you know, that doesn't, it doesn't mean that we should go along and simply nod our heads and say, well, yes, you're creating your own destiny, and that's a thing to be proud of, and let's all be visible and cognizant of this. I mean, we're reaching a point now, and people will see this. As I said, 2024 is a key year. We are reaching a point where the data is coming out of people that have transitioned, that did get converted to the cult and made the transition and then had their reality questioned and then realized, oh, I've been sold a false bill of goods here. I am not a man in a woman's body. I did not need to take puberty blockers. I should not have had my gender affirmed. I am not a wine instead of grapes model, as so many of these people quoted. They seem to have keyed in on one phrase here, and the cult has now passed that along, similar to how Democrats hand out talking points that are repeated ad nauseum by the media. But we're now seeing the generation of children that was exposed to this come out, and now you have the stories of detransitioners, which are being suppressed and attacked by activists and suppressed by the media and suppressed by the White House. And of course, you have psychologists that are being challenged and suppressed by the media and medical affiliations and associations in the United States. But as I mentioned earlier, in the UK, in the Nordic countries, we're seeing that roll back harshly. So a lot of now we're seeing is the cult fighting along with the people, similar to COVID, my bad people theory, in that all of these leftists that supported this, all of these parents that went along with this, all of these medical professionals and psychiatric professionals that went along with this religious cult and forced children into making decisions that were inalterable to their genetic makeup, sometimes their hormonal makeup. Now that we see the results, now that we see the faulty science, now that we see the detransitions and the amount of hurt that's being done, these people will grasp onto anything to prove that they're not bad people. So the resistance to coming around to this trans issue, while it's been adopted quickly in other nations, is going to be so difficult in the United States because the egos in the United States, I think, are far greater. The presence of social media plays a huge role in this because people put everything out there. I mean, think about the jackasses that were in Harry Potter. And this will bring us around to J.K. Rowling. The piece of shit actors in Harry Potter all turned on J.K. Rowling like snakes, who they had nothing but good things to talk about. But as soon as J.K. Rowling challenged the trans orthodox cult in its messaging that a woman is a woman if she says she's a woman, even if she was born a man and still has a dick and balls, well, her insistence that, no, you're still biologically male and that females have to be protected and female spaces have to be protected, that people opportunities have to be protected, which I agree with. Especially as a father to two daughters, two young daughters, who hopefully all of this crap is out of here by the time they're old enough. They turned on her and attacked her as a transphobe and a bigot and said that they don't want to do anything else with her and that she's a horrible person. These pieces of garbage. And that happened in what, 2 years? It took 2 years. And simple logical statements by J.K. Rowling. Never said anything ill about trans people, by the way. Never said that they should be eradicated. Never said that trans was evil. Basically, the same philosophy I have. Live your life happily as long as you're not infringing on other people, as long as you're not forcing the medicalization of children. Go be you. But don't try to force yourself into women's spaces. Don't accept everybody or expect everyone to go along with what is a complete myth. I'm sorry. We're not going to throw reality in the bin because you want it to be that way. And no matter how many cult members you get talking into doing this, the reality is going to be the reality. So these Harry Potter fuckers, you know, they turn on her. How long is it going to take for them to acknowledge they were wrong? They publicly, very public figures, and how many celebrities and politicians are out there now publicly on record saying that we need to medicalize children, that we have to affirm care, that we have to call these men, women, and women, men, and that the people that are being put into the prison system that are confirmed serial killers and rapists that are continuing to kill and rape now women in the women's prisons because they identify as men. Well, we got to go along with all this because it's for the greater good. How long is it going to take for them to admit they're wrong? Because admitting you're wrong means that you have to take complete responsibility for all of the horrible things that have happened due to your advocacy of this topic, based upon false information, falsifies medical results, and a complicit, you know, state/medical profession. So, come back around to J.K. Rowling. She has been outspoken on this. It just so happens that on April 1st, happy post-April Fool's Day, one of the shittiest days of the year, it's so fucking annoying. In the morning on April Fool's, I have my radar up and I'm like, I'm going to see a lot of stupid ass, annoying bullshit today. And I'm going to ignore it all because it's all crap. And then I forgot like later in the day, I think like 4 or 5, I was like, you know, my kids are up and I'm looking through my phone and Patrick Bet-David posted something. It's like, oh, you know, we've just come to agreement with Don Lemon. I was like, what the fuck? I wrote back ... why? And then, you know, oh, it's April Fool's. He got me. Good job. Fucking annoying. I hate April Fool's. It might be my most hated day of the entire year. So J.K. Rowling, though, and many others had made the point that on April 1st in Scotland, a new hate crime law passed. This hate crime law essentially said, if you have any speech, it could be in private conversation, it can be in social media, it can be in your corporate environment. If somebody reports you as having shared speech that is hateful and likely, this is the actual words in the bill, likely to incite hate, you could be drug out, chucked into prison. Now, in Ireland, we saw this knocked back. They had a referendum on it. The Irish as a whole said, no, fuck off. The PM resigned. Good for the Irish. The Scottish have somehow gone so far down the road of wokeism. It's mind-boggling to see what used to be a proud people resistant to governments, resistant to their freedoms being trampled. We all saw Braveheart, right? We all know of Rob Roy. Well, William Wallace will be rolling in his grave looking at what's happened to his precious Scotland, which now is completely captured by what looks to be the international governing body, woke leftist ideology that's overtaken Europe, especially under the EU. And this law, which criminalizes free speech, has now been put into place. Now, J.K. Rowling, to her credit, basically said, you know what? Fuck off. I'm going to say what I want, especially on this issue, and you can come get me. You can come arrest me. And sure as shit, people were calling for her to be arrested as of yesterday. So let me open up this article from BBC.com because just this morning, I decided I was going to talk about this, but just this morning, or actually I should say just this afternoon, right before I got on here, the police in Scotland said J.K. Rowling's hate law posts were not critical. This is a terribly written headline. J.K. Rowling hate law posts, not criminal, police say. Who the fuck wrote this headline? Here's how it should read. J.K. Rowling's posts do not violate hate law, police say. Doesn't that make more sense than whatever the fuck this person wrote? So anyway. Social media comments made by J.K. Rowling challenging Scotland's new hate crime law are not being treated as criminal, Police Scotland has said. The Harry Potter author described several transgender women as men, including convicted prisoners, trans activists, and other public figures. The new law creates a new crime of stirring up hatred relating to protected characteristics, a.k.a. you're not allowed to say truthful statements that violate woke left orthodoxy about certain quote unquote characteristics, which of course is psychotic, Orwellian, and the end of free speech in society. So the Scottish police said, well, we received complaints. And I was reading some of her tweets back and forth actually on X about this. Essentially, you know, jerk off trolls coming after and saying, hey, arrest this woman here. You can't call a man, or you can't talk about how women shouldn't be subjected to men in their spaces. And one ironic one I saw, and I won't say this guy's name, but he was a lawyer who said he had worked with abused women. A lawyer who's worked with sexually abused women. is coming after J.K. Rowling. And this is a man. Coming after J.K. Rowling for saying that men who identify as women should not be violating women's spaces. Now, as a lawyer who has supposedly worked to protect and defend abused women, shouldn't you know that probably the most likely place for a woman to be violated would be in a women's only space by a male, right? Because your defenses are down. Let's say like a prison where we know for a fact rapes have happened, that they've had to put condoms out in female only prisons because the males that identified as women were raping the prisoners. Fact, by the way, this is not conjecture. This is not a joke. That's a fact. I bet Trojan, you wonder if Trojan's like, you know what? We got to get on this. We got to sponsor. Sponsor this. Get our marketing team. The Trojan Condoms hires Bud Light's marketing exec that drove their company in the ground. Her first idea is to go to all the prisons and be like, guys, I got a banger. Your audience is going to love us. We're going to sponsor all the prison condoms in all the women's prisons for the men to use when they're raping. Ah, ah, Harvard degree on the wall. Anyway, so they're not going to go after J.K. Rowling, but they could have. And the wokies wanted them to. What's great about this is J.K. Rowling has taken a completely, you know, she's not backing down. She's like, you know, I'll reference the a statue I hate, by the way, which is like the statue they rolled out. Some dickhead plopped it down during COVID in Wall Street. And it was a little girl standing up against the bull, you know, standing up against Wall Street. And it was supposed to be something to embody, I don't know, feminism against capitalism. It's fucking retarded. But all the leftists thought it was great because they're stupid. So similar to that, but in an actual meaningful sense, J.K. Rowling is the little girl here standing up against the bull, which is this trans activist movement backed by governments, backed by activists, backed by academia, backed by the medical, et cetera, standing up for free speech laws, which are under attack from all fronts. Good for her. She's got the platform. She's got the money. She's got the public persona. It's awesome. Why is she alone? Why is she the only one I'm seeing stand up and say this shit? I'll tell you, I used to dislike J.K. Rowling. Now, I do love Harry Potter. I think they're great books. I think they're great movies. But I disliked her because there's a movie called The Worst Witch starring Tim Curry. Check it out. It's awesome. That she 100% ripped off. That being said, I love J.K. Rowling now. She's brave. And I certainly hope that when this is all worked itself out, that it inspires some other celebrities that have a platform to be brave rather than to be abject fucking cowards as they are. Okay, last thing, guys, and then we'll wrap this on up. Oh, one more quick thing. Dylan Mulvaney, of course, you know Dylan Mulvaney, very, very annoying trans activist slash face of the trans movement in America, at least from a corporate perspective. Dylan Mulvaney said that he'd like to make Legally Blonde and be Elle Woods. And quote, in a recent interview, this is from Deadline Hollywood. In a recent interview, the singer and actress said her dream theater role was to play Glinda in Wicked, but her dream was to portray the Harvard Law School student that Reese Witherspoon famously played in the 2001 film. Quote, my dream, though, is to do a trans Legally Blonde. I want to play Elle Woods and have maybe a trans Emmett and a trans Paulette. I think what's so cool about plugging trans people, say that four times fast, into existing stories is it inherently changes what the topic is. No shit, Dylan. But in a way that you don't have to do much to the script because it becomes something different. But actually, I think it makes it more powerful. Really? It makes it more powerful? Legally Blonde is a story about a female coming up in a world where nobody expects her to do much, showing people that she can now compete with the boys. It was a male-dominated field at the time anyway, and surprise people. You're a man pretending to be a woman is what you are. How is that more powerful? You've already taken away a lot of opportunities from legitimate women in the space by virtue of what you're doing here. You've already basically made a mockery of what womanhood is. If you've watched anything Dylan Mulvaney does, it looks like an SNL parody. It's if I was a woman, I'd be insulted at the stupidity of how he portrays what he understands to be feminine. I mean, it's ridiculous. He thinks that this is going to be more powerful. Let's just remake it, but put it trans, as Eric Cartman said, put a woman in it, make her lame, make her gay. But this time we're going to put a man in it, but make her a woman, make her lame and make her gay. Although a lot of trans people aren't gay. They're just doing, as I said, a lot of this is based in root narcissism. And in fact, a fetish. Not more powerful to me. And also somebody please tell Dylan Mulvaney, being trans isn't a talent. A lot of these people seem to think it is, right? I'm trans. That's my identity now. That's my talent. No, it's not a fucking talent. It's a mental issue. That's what it is. It's aggravating. It's aggravating. The fact that this story got covered is aggravating. Okay, last thing. We'll get off the trans topic. A buddy, Chris Smith, who was a personality, radio personality over in Australia, and who I was on his show for about a year and a half, every week I was on his show. But unfortunately, with the time change of his show and the time change of our hours, it just became way too late. It would have been like 11 o'clock every night, or every Tuesday my time. But Chris does some great reporting, and you can follow him at TNT Radio, which has a lot of great programming. Check them out. They're doing video now too. But I want to share this because he was talking about during his monologue, what's been called a catastrophe in the climate exchange model for carbon credits, right? Where companies pay to have carbon credits that are offset, and that's going to make everything all right, right? This is Al Gore's big scam. So you give them carbon credits, you buy them, and then they go and plant a tree. You know, it's like when people used to plant trees for Israel back before they were just massacring people. So here, let me share what Chris had to say. And I think you'll find it pretty interesting because it's more in line. As I said, so many of the leftist, you know, things that they hold so close to them are collapsing on themselves. We're seeing that with modern monetary theory and Keynesian economics. We're seeing that collapse on itself. We're seeing the whole bullshit promise that minimum wage laws are the benefit to the poor collapse on themselves. We're seeing the whole claim that America is a racist society and that affirmative action is the best thing in the world collapse on itself. We're seeing the trans issue collapse on itself. We're seeing now the climate issue collapse on itself. Here's another indication that this has been a whole big scam all along, enriching a very small portion of the population as a detriment to the rest of us, as everything that we know goes up in cost and we are regulated into oblivion. So here's Chris.
In what is one of the world's largest natural carbon offset projects, it's now one of the world's greatest carbon duds. Let me take you back to what TNT listeners heard exactly 2 years ago, funnily enough, from Australia's carbon offset guru, the man advising the government on these questionable carbon abatement projects, Professor Andrew McIntosh. This is how he excitedly explained how this scheme would work.
What an offset means is that somebody has to undertake a project to either avoid an emission that would otherwise occur, or to sequester carbon dioxide in vegetation, soils, or in geological formations. If that someone does that, then they get a carbon credit, an offset credit, for each ton of greenhouse gas emissions that they abate. And then that carbon credit is personal property, and it can be sold either to the government or can be sold to somebody in the private sector who wants to offset their emissions. If your credits don't represent real additional abatement, ultimately what you're only doing is just simply transferring money from one party to another. You're not actually driving those environmental outcomes, which ultimately you're trying to achieve.
Hear what he said? If the new trees are not absorbing the carbon dioxide, you're just transferring a lot of money. You're just making people rich and not achieving your outcome. Sounds all hunky-dory in theory back 2 years ago when he spoke to Mike Ryan, and of course we're saving the planet, which is scientifically impossible. So he says, but of course what we've got to do is work out whether it's working. Now, Andrew McIntosh, who has played a role in this new research, I should add, has told AFP, quote, this is from his mouth, I think it can only be described, and I'm using generous words here, as a gross failure. It's a catastrophe. He said, adding that it would be a stain on Australia's reputation. A catastrophe, he says. Now, what the official government records show is that since 2013, Australian native forests have sucked up more than 27 million tonnes of carbon dioxide. But not according to the peer-reviewed research, which used satellite imagery to chart forest growth. And the growth is simply non-existent. The findings have been published in the highly respected Nature Communications journal Earth and Environment for the world to see. Australia has been selling carbon credits to emitters that simply do not do a thing about carbon dioxide. It's a sham. It's a fake biosphere dealing in millions of dollars worth of nothing.
All right. I'll end it there. We don't need to see the whole thing. But Chris nails it here. You're witnessing a scam. We were promised that these credits were going to revolutionize how we do everything, right? It's going to suck up these carbon. We're going to plant these trees. We're going to do this. Bullshit. Chris goes on to talk about how these massive tracts of land, right, were dedicated to sucking up carbon, and the trees haven't been growing. They haven't been tended to. They're not growing up as they were promised. They're not doing anything. So all it is people paying off their cronyist buddies who run these companies. And I don't know, I'm sure they've got an Al Gore in Australia that does a similar thing. They're paying off government cronies and extension corporations to do literally nothing. But it costs all of us more money because the corporations now build out into what they're doing. The governments require carbon credits to offset. So that's another layer of regulation, another layer of bureaucracy to make sure that these corporations are complying. Ready? And don't forget that the SEC also put in ESG bullshit into what they were trying to do. So you're adding cost, you're adding bureaucracy, and you're adding inefficiency because it doesn't do anything. And on top of that, as Chris mentioned, for what? To prove what? This is an unproven theory. This is like keeping 6 feet from each other during COVID. These carbon credits are proven to do absolutely nothing to change climate, if it can even be changed by us. And I do think it's hilarious. I've said this before and I'll say it again. I can't remember what I was watching recently. I think it was something about glaciers and peaks and valleys. Oh, you know what it was? I was, judge me if you want, I was watching Ancient Aliens because I like to take a nap. I'll take a nap like after lunch of the day, just a little refresher, right? I'll knock out for like an hour. And I put on Ancient Aliens because it's just like a very low tone key thing and I fall asleep to it. But before I fall asleep, you listen to it. They're like, these archaeologists found a society that was buried 25 feet under the ground, right? And it's just in the middle of a field. And you go, this is a society 25 feet under the ground. This whole society existed. You know, it's like massive structures of concrete and stone. And, you know, this housed something like 25,000 people. Oh, my God, a society of 20,000. Or you hear about, you know, cities that were on an island. You know, there was an island, I think it was Scottish Island, that they called, what was it? It had some beautiful name, right? Well, the fucking island's gone. It's sunk. They go, okay, we're supposed to believe that humanity in the last 200 years has somehow altered the planet's climate momentously. And then you look back to 4,000-year-old civilizations that are buried under 25 fucking feet of dirt. What climate change brought that on? What made an island sink? Just, you know, we talk about narcissism. The narcissism of fucking people in this field to think that we have this big an impact is mind-bogglingly stupid. But yet we're spending all this money and adding all these layers of bureaucracy that make everyone's lives worse in the current era with zero efficacy. Zero. There's no evidence to show that any of this shit does anything. Latest example, massive tracts of land in Australia that are being traded for carbon credits that do nothing. How about there's an old world forest. I'm trying to think. I just saw this. I think it might be in England. These beautiful old world trees, they're going to rip the entire forest out to put in a wind farm. Wind farms, which, by the way, have shown to be less efficient because, number one, the wind blades don't last long. They massacre bird populations. They also fall apart and then are incredibly expensive to replace. And guess what? Every single manufacturer of wind farm equipment, the silos that go up, the, you know, the wind giant fans that collect it, they lose money. There's never a profitable one. Not a single one is profitable. They all lose money. So they're not sustainable. The irony, the sustainable energy isn't fucking sustainable from a market standpoint. You can't create them. And then you just have massive graveyards when these things fail. Because the companies go out of business, by the way, half the time. You can find videos of people going through just forests and seeing massive turbines just piled up, just destroying the landscape, just left there to rot. You've got these massive wind farms in the ocean, which whales are just swimming into because it's fucking up their sonar with the vibrations going in the ground as they're murdering birds and bringing back us a non-beneficial return on the energy. It's just, I'm telling you, these people are going to continue pushing it because the money's there. But for you and me and the rest of the thinking world, as I said, the new society for the resistance to melting brains, the society for the resistance of melting minds, the SRMM, that's what we're in here now. That's our society, the society for resisting of melting minds. For all the rest of us whose brains aren't turned into fucking pudding here, it's very obvious what's happening. It's obvious these things are collapsing on itself. We just have to be strong. We have to be dedicated in getting the message out and talking about these things openly, despite hate speech laws that might be put into place. Hopefully not here. But if it can happen in Scotland, the home of William Wallace, where people get their guts ripped out so they can yell freedom, which must smell disgusting, I guess it can happen anywhere. All right. Thank you for joining me, guys. If you like what we do here, please subscribe. Join us, patreon.com/Lions of Liberty. I meant to do a good morning fuckhead rant today, and then I got really busy and I forgot. So I apologize. I'll have three more of those. Promise you tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, I'll have a show each one of those days for you guys. But join us, little as $5 a month at patreon.com/Lions of Liberty or lionsofliberty.locals.com. Of course, follow us at Lions of Liberty. You can listen to John's show Monday, my show Wednesday, and we will have a Meme Wars on Friday again this week. We had to take a couple weeks off. Had an issue with our publisher. Anyway, thank you for joining me, guys. I am Brian McWilliams. This has been Mean Age Daydream from me, from the Lions of Liberty Network. Keep those electric eyes on me, babe. Keep that ray gun to my head. Later.